You'll turn to John chapter 20, verse 26. It says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." 8 days later. Now, eight is a significant biblical number. It is the number of new beginnings. And new beginnings are God's specialty, okay? It's really important for us today, I believe. But we need to be careful about assigning much significance to numbers in the Bible. Numerology can be quite a trap that you can fall into. Just ask, well, you can't ask him now, he's dead, but Harold Camping. You all remember Harold Camping? Dear old Harold, he went with numerology and figured out that the world was going to end and the rapture was going to happen on May 21st, 2011. May 21st, 2011. We're still here. Unfortunately, Harold isn't, because on May 22nd, he hid himself in his house because there were an awful lot of people who listened to him, and a whole lot of people lost everything. They lost their homes, their income, they lost their jobs, they lost their cars, everything, because they believed that the world was going to end on that specific day. And poor Harold, just less than 3 weeks later, suffered a stroke and died.
World ended for him.
Well, yeah. But numerology, as I said, but that's not how the Bible works. The Bible isn't a puzzle for us to figure out and to solve. It's not basic instruction before leaving Earth. The Bible is the revelation of God's love to all of mankind. That's what it is. There are significant numbers in the Bible. For example, 3, the Trinity. 3 is a very important number. It's a symbol. It's a sign of God's presence. It's also a sign of strength. For example, you heard a threefold cord is not easily broken. 3 is an important number in the Bible. 7 is an important number in the Bible. It's the sign of completion, okay? Like 7 days, God created the world in 7 days. 12 is a number of perfection. There were 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 apostles. In the world to come, the 12 tribes will have 12,000 of each tribe, 12 times 12. And 40 is a very important number in the Bible. 40 just means a long time, okay? That's really what it means. 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus was. 40 years wandering in the wilderness of sin was Israel. 40 was a time of testing, as well as a long time, okay? So, and we could go on. But as was noted, 8 is a number of new beginnings in the Bible. And I decided I was going to do some little Bible study on this one. And interestingly enough, I found 8 references to 8 being a sign of new beginnings in the Bible. I wonder if there's some significance there. Maybe that means the world's coming to an end. No, we're not going to go there. Never mind. But instead of giving you all of those, let me just give you a couple. For example, I mentioned 7 days for the creation. So what happened on the 8th day? It was the beginning, new beginning. Everything began to move as God had created it to be. Okay? Circumcision. When is the child circumcised? On the 8th day. It's a day of new beginnings for that child. After Peter confessed Jesus to be the Christ, 8 days later, they went up onto the mountain. And Jesus made himself known to them, a new beginning for his disciples. And then in today's passage, Thomas. Thomas wasn't with the disciples on Easter day. 8 days later, he meets the Lord, the risen Lord, face to face. And he has a new beginning. Okay, so you see, there is a pattern here, all right? But what happened? What happened during those 8 days from Easter day until the day that Thomas met the Lord? What happened during that time? Well, let's take a look. Easter Sunday, it says, on the first day of the week. It didn't call it Easter Sunday in John's gospel. But on the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together in an upper room with the doors locked. Why were they in an upper room with the doors locked? For fear of the Jews. All right? Jesus came and stood among them, and he said to them, peace be with you. Now, these apostles, these disciples, were very fearful of the Jews. They had seen what they did to Jesus, and they were very worried that the same thing was going to happen to them. They were followers of Christ, and so they met together to encourage one another, to be together, hopefully to worship. And here comes Jesus, and he stands right in the middle of them. They're really frightened now. Whoa, wait a minute. The doors were locked. How did he get in here? Whoa, who is he? Peace be with you. Jesus immediately calms the situation with his word. And then he showed them his hands and his side. Look, it really is me. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And then the Lord says to them, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. He gives them a commission. And he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He commissions them. He empowers them. He encourages them. He speaks peace into their lives. And they were emboldened. They were empowered. They were instructed. And now they knew that that promise that Jesus had given them while he was still alive was going to be made manifest in their lives. And then Thomas shows up. Now, why Thomas wasn't there, we don't know. Maybe he'd gone shopping. Maybe he'd gone to the restaurant to get takeout for the whole group. We don't know where he was. But he came. And they said, we've seen the Lord! Hallelujah! And what is Thomas's response? Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into that mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will never believe. Strong statement of faith there. But it was still the Passover. You realize that. The Passover began just before Jesus was crucified, right? And this is only 3 days later. How long does Passover last?
8 days.
8? Oh, my goodness, another 8. How about that? There you go. It's still the Passover. The disciples had families. They had obligations. They were still Jews, you realize. That didn't go away. They were still practicing Jews. But Thomas listened. He heard their testimony. He listened to what they had to say, but he had to go about doing what all good Jewish men would do during the feast of the Passover. He absorbed what he could, as it were, of the spirit that had been breathed onto the disciples. And he wanted to believe. You've got to recognize that in what he was doing and how he was behaving, there was obviously this sense that, wait a minute, they're saying stuff. I can't understand it. I can't comprehend it. I'm not going to believe it until I see the holes in his hands and his side. but I want to believe. Well, on the following Saturday, they undoubtedly went to the temple and worshiped, as all good Jews would do. But on Sunday, Sunday was the anniversary, as it were, week anniversary, of the resurrection of the Lord. And so they gathered together again. And just like they had done the week before, they all gathered in the upper room with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. But this time, Thomas was with them. Now, these are emboldened, empowered, instructed disciples. And so what are they going to be doing on the anniversary, on that week anniversary of the resurrection of our Lord? They're going to be celebrating his resurrection. Yes, that seems logical. And how would they do that? Well, Luke gives us a clue in that. In chapter 24, says that he was known to them, the risen Christ was known to them on the road to Emmaus in the breaking of the bread. And so they're breaking bread. It's the day of the resurrection, the celebration of our Lord. And they're breaking bread. And as they're breaking bread, Jesus appears, just as he had the week before. Peace be with you. And then he turns to Thomas and he says, see, look. But Thomas doesn't stick out his finger and put it in the hole. He doesn't stick out his hand and put it in Jesus' side. He's been looking for this person. He's been looking for his Lord. He's been looking for Jesus. He wanted to believe. And here, he's not looking for a sign anymore. He's looking at that which is signified. Jesus himself is standing before him. And his response falls down on his face and he says, my Lord and my God. It is the most profound profession of faith in all of Holy Scripture. Think about it. When Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? Peter, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Martha, at the raising of Lazarus, she says to Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. But Thomas is very personal. My Lord, my God. Such a profound profession of faith indicates that there was this longing and this desire to see him. You know, Jesus warned against looking for signs. He says to the Pharisees, well, the Pharisees said to him first, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. And no sign's going to be given to you except the sign of Jonah. 3 days in the tomb. They're looking for a sign, and he, the one who is signified, is standing right in front of them. What are we looking for? Are we looking for a sign, or are we looking for the Christ? I believe Thomas, with every fiber of his being, was looking for Jesus. He wanted a sign, but he got the Lord. When he saw Jesus, that was enough. That was enough. Well, it was a new beginning that day for Thomas. And I believe that it's a day of new beginnings for any and all of us who want to see the Lord. Are we looking for him? I think the word that Jackie brought just a little while ago is a cautionary word for us. What are we doing? Are we going to just sit back and wait? Are we going to move forward and seek? Are we looking for the Lord? Now, like Thomas, it's important not to separate ourselves from the body. It is so important for us to maintain that communion one with another. Just as Thomas did. He spent his time with the apostles during that week. He could have said, hey, you guys are off your rocker. I don't believe it. And separated himself. And that would not have worked well for him. And the disciples on the other side of it could have said, you unbelieving heretic. But they didn't. They continued to encourage. And we can witness to someone who's struggling. And trust me, I believe right now, well, Father Chris and I were, and Father David were talking about it before the service. It's a time of discouragement. It's a time of heart. It's really hard right now. We've been through 2 years of a pandemic, political chaos, social unrest, violence. There's war going on overseas. You know, it's a time that can easily be a time of great discouragement. But we keep our eyes on the Lord. If we continue to search and to seek and to look for him, the signs are there. And behind the signs is the one signified. And he is who we are pursuing. Okay? We can witness to those who are struggling. But it really is counterproductive to be argumentative with them. Because it is the Lord himself who is going to make himself known. Prayer is essential. If you know one who is struggling, offer encouragement, comfort. But most importantly, prayer. Pray for them. Tell them you're praying for them. They need to hear it. They need to know. All of us have difficult stretches. Can you imagine the difficult stretch that Thomas and the other 10 had gone through in just the week before? One who they had traveled with for 3 years, had given their life to, had been crucified. Their lives, they felt, were being threatened. We have nothing compared to that. But they stood fast. Jesus came among them and he said, peace be with you. And he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. My friends, Jesus is anxious to be among us and to breathe on us and to speak peace into our lives. Are we looking for him? How about you? How about you? Are you looking for the Lord? In these difficult days, are you seeking him? Or are you turning in discouragement? Seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and he will not disappoint you. He will be there. Let him breathe on you. Let him speak peace into your life. And this will be, for you and for all of us, a day of new beginnings. Amen. Amen.